face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston on our simulcast. Beetle, Zoe, Hardy, all of us here. And we did have a topic we were going to get into and jump right into at the start of today's show, but we've been sidetracked and derailed before the show even began.
Let's go.
I mean, you guys could all hear Jim down the line a moment ago, right?
Yes.
It is rare when you hear Jim's voice so serious.
And I thought something was
wrong.
Is
that really serious?
I thought maybe as soon as he said, hey, guys, I thought maybe our connections were failing, that he couldn't hear us, that we needed to reset some things, that there was going to be some technical catastrophe. That's immediately where my mind went when Jim just piped into our ears. However, he wanted to let us know that Ken in Lowell is on the line, and Ken is reaching out to us today because he wants to talk about his general wellness. Ken, how are you? What's going on? Ken?
Ken?
Hello?
Hi, Ken.
Was that a death rattle, or are you feeling okay now?
Is that what they call the death rattle?
All right, sorry. Hey, Zoe. Hey, Beetle. Hey, Hattie. How you guys doing?
Good, hey, Ken. You sound great. What's going on, buddy?
How's your physical health going on?
Fine.
Hello? I mean, I'm a day older, so, I mean, you progressively feel a little sore, you know?
We're all
right,
fine.
Beetle, how's your
Ken?
Health going on?
Fine. No coronavirus here, bud.
Hi.
Yeah.
I
feel like $100, Ken. Yeah, I mean, if we're all fine here. What about you?
I tested positive last week.
No kidding. Wait a minute. Are you asymptomatic or did you feel sick, Ken?
No, well, I don't know. I didn't think to ask that question. I just went to the testing thing, and I tested positive.
Why did you go get a test?
Do you feel unwell? Did you feel sick?
I got every symptom known to man.
All right, so what are your symptoms, Ken?
Well, I got the cough. I got the runny nose. I got the sore throat, and I can't even smell or taste my food.
Aha.
And I got a fever.
And you got a fever. And you've had it for about a week now?
Yeah, last Friday.
Okay. So are you having any difficulty breathing?
Well, I'm a smoker, so, short breath or something like that, whatever.
That could be an issue, yep. Can you still pound alcohol? Like, if you still, even though
I'm
you've lost
that
your...
right now. I'm trying to kill that virus right now with the Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey is what it's called.
That's what's recommended to you?
Yesterday.
Ken, you were laughing when we picked up the phone. Is there someone there with you?
Yeah, it was Cedric. I call him Cornbread because I don't know anybody else. Black Cedric. And I don't know anybody else named Cedric. I said Cornbread Maxwell.
Okay.
Yes. Did is he at your house? I mean, are you two keeping your social distance?
Well, I told him to go away. So I'm sitting on the forklift. He's over there.
So you're working with Corona. This is awesome.
A forklift. Ken, are you working, Ken?
Is there any way you could fax us or send us the positive test that came back so we can believe it?
That's kind of like a, I don't know, what do you call that? A non-disclosure thing with
it's
the dog?
That's a HEPA violation. It's called a HEPA violation, Ken. Yeah. You seem like a union guy. You would know all this stuff. You seem like a hard worker.
Working right now? Or are you sitting on a forklift, you know, for like a, just for comfort?
Construction goes on, Hardy. Pleasure? Keep up, okay?
Business or pleasure with that forklift?
I'm sitting on this forklift, and let me tell you, I haven't worked in 7 weeks. My boss is a cheap prick. He's a cheap prick. His name
okay,
is
now Bob. We're getting to it.
All right. I work at Belvedere Liquors. Oh. He's a cheap prick, and I haven't worked for 7 weeks. And this forklift, it's got 5,200 hours on it, all right? And it was built by, it's a Yale, 1974. The starter's done. The left rear tire is flat. And, what else? Oh, yeah. The hydraulics are gone. And the parking lot looks like a minefield in Beirut or something like that. All right? And
why
I still haven't dumped one.
Forklift?
I still haven't. Huh?
Are you working today with coronavirus?
I ain't working. I'm just sitting here drinking a beer is all I'm doing.
At your place of work?
You put me to work or I'll breathe on you.
So you're at your place of work, yet you have coronavirus.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. What? Cinco de Mayo. What the hell does that mean?
It's a holiday, Mexican holiday.
You know what it means.
Come on.
Hey, so.
What's up?
I'm sorry to hear about your father, man.
I appreciate that, Ken. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, you got me thinking, what's the first sporting event your father ever took you to?
Oh, good one, Ken. Ringgold High School football game.
High school?
He's coaching it. Yeah, well, he was a coach.
I'm gonna let Ken go.
A real sporting event would be a Pittsburgh Steeler game in the 70s at Three River Stadium. Do you guys believe, Ken? You guys want to restart the show, or what do you want to do here?
I mean, I want to believe him.
Yeah.
I want to believe him.
I don't believe him a second.
You think it's a gag?
He was laughing. He's hanging out with someone. He's sitting on a forklift drinking. We know where he works. We know his boss is a prick. He's got every symptom. He doesn't care. He's drinking Fireball. He's going to kill it with liquor.
Do you think the whole thing is a gag?
How do you think the calls have gone the last several times?
I want to give Ken the benefit of the doubt, and I'm not calling Ken a liar at all. So I'm going to believe that Ken is the coronavirus.
Crap.
And along those lines, I'm going to say that the opening of golf courses should be the least of our concerns right now. If this is in any way, shape, or form indicative of the way some coronavirus patients are handling their day-to-day affairs, go ahead and just open everything. This is really not what we should be worried about, whether we can tee off or not. He's on the forklift, the Fireball. And
what are you holy crapping, Beetle?
If you go to Google Maps of the place he named, which our listeners could not hear on the radio because we dropped that.
That's good.
There is on the Google Street View.
Yeah.
You can see the forklift.
He's messing around, dude.
I'm not kidding. There is a forklift in the parking lot that looks quite old and is parked there.
I'm going there right now. Hold on a second.
It's to the right side. There is a forklift. That's not made up. So there is a very old forklift in operation at that establishment.
So the one with the left tire that is not pumped up, the starter doesn't work on it. So it's actually a dead forklift, and he just uses it to sit on.
So he's sitting.
I don't
want to
see him. I don't want to know what he looks like.
It.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks old. I don't know if it's a '74 Yale or not, but looks old.
I can tell you with I can tell you with certainty that's a 74 Yale.
Yeah.
No problem identifying that piece of machinery.
Okay, then.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
So, okay, he's telling the truth about all that.
Yeah, I guess he is. I guess. I mean, I just thought that, you know, listen, Jim sounded very concerned. I thought maybe Ken had said something on the phone when he called in that he was, you know, calling to say his goodbyes or something.
Well, I'd say that's a bad job by Jim screening that call then.
You know, I'm actually more concerned now over what he's doing than Jim, if he was really sick himself, because he's going to affect other people the way he's doing.
Does he sound like he's sick, Jim? Come on.
I mean, he told his boss, put me to work or I'll breathe on you.
Doesn't he have these symptoms all the time anyway? Doesn't he talk about hacking up a lung? And he's done this before. He's got all this discolored stuff coming out and can't breathe. You know, I mean, it's kind
of... Go across the street on that Google Street View and see if one of those three guys might be Ken and Lowell walking across the street to take a break and having a chat.
Oh God! It absolutely could be. I don't want to. Don't do it.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to know what he looks like.
No, their faces are blurred out, so you can't see their faces. But there, there are three guys at a garage door across the street, hanging out.
I definitely don't want to see Ken. I don't want to see Derek. I never want to see Derek either.
Well, we don't
we've got something from him today, too, people.
Today's a big day, people.
Today's a big day here on the show.
Big day.
We got new Derek in Foxborough music. We got Ken and Lowell.
It's Derek's birthday.
Who's coronavirus positive. We got what else? What else could we possibly have on the show today to make it any bigger? I don't know.
It's crazy. It's like our best Tuesday ever.
Oh, man. So he went and got tested last Friday, tested positive, and is suffering from a number of symptoms, according to Ken. Symptoms that include a runny nose, can't smell, can't taste. He had a fever, and he's out there drinking Fireball today.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out any updates. Ken, if you need to update us, if your situation changes, let us know. If you become corona-free, if you test negative again, things get worse, you just keep us in the loop, okay? And enjoy your time on the floor.
We actually, on NBC Sports Boston, they're actually teasing like Derek's new track that's going to drop at 12:50 today. Like, this is how big Derek has gotten. This is how big Ken has gotten. You get a call to start a show, we trash everything and go right to Ken. Maybe we shouldn't allow... they're part of the show.
Shouldn't allow what?
Now. I'd just say, hey, do our thing. Maybe not let our listeners and callers sort of direct what we do. But I think it's sort of goes with the time right now, right?
They're not directing anybody. If anybody that was a regular caller called in at the beginning of the show and said that they tested positive, we probably put them on at the start of the show, no? Somebody
we
talk to often?
We absolutely would.
I mean, we've done it with Lee. Absolutely. Lee and Quincy. Sure.
Yeah, except when Lee tells you,
there's no question to its authenticity.
They're all
like
patients,
say
they're
Devin
all
Danvers calls.
It.
Yep, having a rice cake, and you know.
Can I tell you what? I hope Ken's lying. I hope Ken was lying that he did not test positive.
Well, Jim, how dare you even think that he would lie? I don't think Ken lies.
I hope he's lying.
It's a kiss of death.
All right, very good. Why don't we get into the things we were going to talk about today? And as Hardy said, huge show today. We've got more from Derek in Foxborough coming up later on in the show. We've got a new track from him. It's Tuesday. You know, new song dropping today.
It's his birthday today.
Oh, even better. Even better. We'll get to all of this. Bill Belichick, Don Shula. We didn't spend very much time on it yesterday. We'll spend a little bit of time on it coming up next. And Ken is reaching out to us today because he wants to talk about his general wellness.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mm-hmm. back to the things that are pressing sports matters right now in our time of no sports. Yesterday, Don Shula passed away at the age of 90. And Bill Belichick released a statement yesterday after his passing. I'm sure you've probably seen the statement by now, Zoe. On its surface, you see that statement, and what do you think about Bill Belichick and his comments on Don Shula passing away?
You see it quickly. It's taken the high road, I think, because there's, been a little bit of history there, especially going back to 2015 where Shula started to have some comments, and then 2017 about, you know, the Belichick stuff. And it's one thing about Bill. Bill doesn't forget. It's one thing I love about Bill. It's kind of like me. I don't forget crap. You dose out anything against me, I would want to bury you. And that's what I love about Belichick. But the perception on the outside is not that. You know, it's a well-crafted statement that he released yesterday. Not declaring him, what, Beetle, the greatest coach of all time? But saying
when you saw the statement, what did you think? What was your initial reaction?
I was wild by it. I'm like, holy crap, Belichick took the high road here on this because he's starting to lay the ground because that's the guy he's chasing. And he doesn't want
to catch him. That's exactly what I thought it was. Like, first glance, Bill's taking the high road.
Took the high
road. Bill has never responded to any of the things that Don Shula has said over the years. Don Shula called him Belichick back in 2015. Don Shula was very critical of the Patriots in 2007. Don Shula openly rooted against the Patriots in 2007. He said that everything the Patriots had accomplished under Bill Belichick in their first sort of part of the dynasty with three Super Bowls was tarnished. He said all of those things, and Bill Belichick never responded to any of that.
Never did all that stuff. Yeah.
Bill Belichick, just a couple of months ago, was very complimentary of Don Shula in the NFL 100 special that he took part in on NFL Network. So he took the high road there. And so his statement yesterday was, Don Shula is one of the all-time great coaching figures and the standard for consistency and leadership in the NFL. I was fortunate to grow up in Maryland as a fan of the Baltimore Colts, who under Coach Shula were one of the outstanding teams of that era. My first connection to Coach Shula was through my father, whose friendship with Coach Shula went back to their days in Northeast Ohio. I extend my deepest condolences to the Shula family and the Dolphins organization. First glance, you think, well, that's a pretty nice statement that he had, really complimentary, right?
He said some really nice things, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, really nice things.
High road. Because, I mean, that guy's at the peak of it, right? And when and if you pass him, you want to be revered and looked at and say, well, that guy's the greatest of all time, so why shouldn't I compliment the guy at the top of the hill?
Does he say anything about Don Shula as a coach?
Well, when you start to break it down line by line, and Jim was the first to bring this to my attention.
Lauf's great at this.
Well-crafted or not, Zoe, it is crafted. When Lauf said this, I'm like, Lauf, stop it. Relax. Calm down. Go have a glass of milk. You know, eat a sandwich. Do something other than dissect everything. Dissect this and tell me that Jim is wrong. Don Shula is one of the all-time great coaching figures. Not one of the all-time greatest coaches.
Right.
All-time great coaching figures and the standard for consistency and leadership in the NFL. Does Bill Belichick think that what the NFL does consistently is a good thing? Or does he think that overall the leadership in the NFL is any good besides him? That's number one.
Unless you're talking about Paul Brown.
He didn't call him a great coach.
No.
He called him a great coaching figure. Like, yep, when you think of coaches in the NFL, for better or worse, you think Don Shula. He's right up there. He's among those things that you think of. Okay, number one, standard for consistency. Was he consistently a jerk to me? Yes, he was. Standard for consistency. And what do you think of the leadership in the NFL? They're mostly bozos. Yep, he's the standard for consistency and leadership in the NFL, period. So there we go. The first sentence, which seems really nice, he's really said nothing about the man himself.
He speaks to his father's friendship with him, not his own.
I was fortunate.
He doesn't
to
say
grow
I was fortunate
Maryland.
Enough to.
As
yeah,
a fan, as a fan
was...
of Don Shula, no. As a fan of the Baltimore Colts, who right. under Shula's guidance, leadership, coaching, no, just under Shula, were one of the outstanding teams of that era. Of course, they had nothing to do with Shula. No, it was all the players and his coordinators.
Hardy.
But, you know, I'm not going
to
say
that. To
this
day, he thinks Burt Jones is a top 10 quarterback of all time. Belichick does. It's great.
Nowhere
in the statement does he say, I was fortunate enough to know Don Shula.
Never. He says
never
at
any point does he say he was fortunate to know him or have any relationship with him. He says his dad was friends with him. He doesn't say he was friends with him. He says he was a great coaching figure. He never said he was a great coach. And when he gets to the football part, his biggest attributes and best things were consistency and leadership. Nothing about being a great coach and football mind. None of it. He doesn't touch any of that stuff.
No.
And if you go back to what he said on the NFL 100 special, I thought the same thing. Like, yeah, Belichick took the high road. Here it is. Here's just a small piece of sound that the NFL tweeted out yesterday after the news broke. And this goes back to the special when Bill was asked about him.
347 wins. Let's start with that.
Right.
It's a lot. You know, I remember Coach Shula. I would watch Coach Shula's TV show every week with the Baltimore Colts growing up in Annapolis. And Corralling the Colts was the show. And I always look forward to Coach Shula's breakdowns and his interviews with the star players there. I think Coach Shula really kind of set the standard for all.
He set the standard as a guy who was on a Saturday morning TV show talking about the Baltimore Colts. There will be no one quite like the Colts of my youth.
It was like he was, and this is it. I mean, it's not like he was forced to eulogize someone he didn't really like. So he just said a bunch of factually
but
correct stuff.
But he took
stuff.
The high road. Yeah.
So what?
But
he still took the high road, though.
Yeah.
I still give him credit for doing it because 100%. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to release his statement.
Robin Roberts like Good Morning America with this yesterday with Belichick's statement. And, oh, what a great thing this is. One great coach to another.
What a win for Bill. Like, great job by Bill. That's
great. Great job, Bill.
That's great PR. That's the way to handle it. He didn't say anything negative. In fact, he did say some nice things. But if you really pick apart his words, you could probably gather that I don't think Bill loves that guy, nor should he. He doesn't have to like Don Shula. And he's going to chase him, and he's going to go after him for the record. That's great. That's wonderful. And at the end of the day, when the history is written, Bill Belichick didn't say anything bad about Don Shula, but Don Shula said plenty of things that were bad about Belichick.
It's true.
No, he didn't lie, which is the other thing. He didn't say, you know, I loved him and I thought he was, you know, he had earned the respect of everyone in the league. No, because if you don't feel that way, don't say it. Don't say we may have had our differences, but in the end, I came to appreciate what he had. No. If you don't feel that way, don't say it. Nope. He was a coach. He was a very famous coach. And my dad was friends with him. That's true. And I like the team that he coached. And
teamwork.
My condolences to the family. Absolutely, I feel that. I'm not a monster. The guy did nothing but talk crap about me. What am I supposed to do? Just say nothing but nice things? I don't feel like it. I don't feel that way. I'll say nice things without actually saying anything nice about the man. I will be factually accurate and express my condolences and to the family and leave it at that. And that's what he did. And I wouldn't have thought anything else about it. To me, Belichick had done it and gotten away with it, and I thought he took an even higher road than what he did, except that I happened to work with a lunatic who dissects everything in the world of sports, including the statement from Belichick. And once Jim pointed out some of the intricacies of that statement, I started to think about it too. I'm like, wow, he's right.
That's bad timing.
Said anything about the guy?
We kind of dissect everything right now. Something that would have been a topic on the show may not have been a topic during
this
a non-pandemic
one,
right,
this one may have slid by in a big sports season. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, doing a playoff run, Bruins or Celtic playoff run, this thing could have slid right under the radar. Yeah. Job, Ralph.
But I think you're probably right, and I think that even though Bill was saying nice things on multiple occasions about Don Shula, I just think, you know, the cynical side of you thinks, oh, there's no way he likes Shula. There's no way he likes that guy. Shula won't shut up about how much Belichick is a cheater and how everything that they've done in New England is tarnished and they didn't do it the right way like the Dolphins did. And so he doesn't have any reasons to really like Shula. He has reasons not to like Shula. And so, yeah, he took the high road. That's a win for Bill.
It was really to make Zoe feel better is what I was doing because Zoe was like, oh, I can't believe all the gushing over Shula this morning.
Yeah, cause the first thing I thought of, man, Kern brought up an article he wrote in 2015, really good piece, where he said Shula at the end of his life would treat Belichick as a dog toy. And that's the title of the article. But he chronicles all the stuff Shula said about him, the Monday night stuff, the videotaping of the sidelines, and that's when the Belichick started.
Like he said, well, no. He said Belichick.
I said first thing yesterday.
It was just a profile piece, though. The Belichick was not in response to anything. That was in a profile in the, I think it was the Sun Sentinel down in Miami.
Yeah, they just brought up Belichick's name, and he goes, you mean Belichick.
Out of nowhere. They're like, what's your reaction to Belichick? And he says, Belichick. And that was not during any scandal. Though, right before Deflategate had started. That was like a month before it had started. And then when that happened, he said, we always tried to live by the rules.
Yeah.
We always tried to live by the rules and set an example that it was always done with a lot of class, a lot of dignity, always done the right way. We didn't deflate any balls. And so that's him saying the Patriots do it without class. Yeah. They don't do it with any dignity. They don't do things the right way. And obviously in 2007, Shula and Mercury Morris and all those 72 Dolphins people were out in full force when they were all criticizing the Patriots at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mercury Morris, too.
They were all pissed about the Patriots. And Shula said, the Spygate thing has diminished what they've accomplished. You would hate to have that attached to your accomplishments. They've got it. That's what he said at the time. And so he's always been very outspoken against the Patriots. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Speaking of the Patriots, speaking of Bill Belichick, Zoe has the proof that the Patriots are not tanking, and it's based in the way they are building their roster. He feels he has unlocked a code here when looking at what the Pats have been up to. We'll get to that coming up after headlines.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot, and the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement, 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Make sure you go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Download our app if you haven't done that already. And if you are at home, make sure you tell those smart speakers to play 98.5 The Sports Hub. As we continue talking a little football here in hour number one, the Patriots are building their roster, preparing for the 2020 season. And there have been more and more calls, Zoe, by fans to tank for Trevor.
Right.
We've heard that. We've heard that call a number of times. And our reaction to that and our official stance on that is no.
It's laughable and disrespectful.
It is.
Right.
No.
Now, you're getting it a lot from, like, I think Mike Sando was the last one to have, like, that was part still in there that they could be tanking for him. It's more of a national written sort of idea or ideology as to how you're going to approach the season. You don't get it from the local guys because I think the local guys talk to people. You talk to people to Bill.
But anonymous scouts and anonymous executives and, one AFC talent evaluator, you get these stupid reports that I think they could be tanking. And Colin Coward, who I like a lot, he won't drop it either, man. He is pushing that agenda big time. The Patriots are tanking. The Patriots are going after Trevor. So you've got some insight on something that you've noticed about how they're putting this team together
and
it means they're not tanking.
And I reflect back on some of my discussions with Scott Pioli and, you know, when Bill became the real GM here as to roster building. And it would always be – now, the schedule comes out Thursday night, 8 o'clock. We're going to know where we're playing, when we're playing. You already know who you're playing, so you have a good idea of what your opponents are going to be. So – Bill has done a pretty good job over the years matching his roster to what the type of competition is going to be. If you're going to play the NFC East, guess what? You're going to play a black and blue type division, right, that likes to run the ball, that has big offensive lines. So you better carry extra big, tough defensive linemen, nose tackles. Maybe you want to go to a 3-4 to get that Vince Wilfork type guy in there. And then when you play the faster, speedier teams, you're going to go heavy DBs, heavy safeties. Now, if you're going to tank, you have no Tom Brady, right? You didn't draft a receiver. See, I think people are stuck under the assumption that you got a second-year quarterback that's basically a rookie that got his ass kicked his last year in college, and you didn't have anybody to help Julian Edelman out, right? I mean, that's the assumption on offense. Yet you tag Joe Tooney. You're going to get an extension done with him. I look at the defensive side of it. If you're going to tank, the number one thing would be is to trade Stephon Gilmore. You would take your defensive player of the year, the guy that you scheme everything defensively for from a coverage standpoint, and say, well, since we're tanking, best way to lose games is to remove our best defensive player. Would you have Devin McCourty back? Would you re-up him and his brother? Or would you keep him here because of the communication back there in that back end as you keep the best defensive secondary in the league together? And then you also add this kid, Duggar, a Division II kid that when Scott Pioli also told me this, the interesting thing about the Patriots, we really put a lot into Senior Bowl week. That's where you do a lot of scouting. You really get the cream of the crop. You could go to the combine. I think you get a mix of guys at the combine. You get hundreds and hundreds of kids. Senior Bowl tends to narrow things down for you. These are the premier talented players in college football, and you've got pro staffs there just coaching these kids up. And Pioli said that, you know, 6 o'clock those mornings, 7 Patriot personnel people are interviewing people. Nobody else is conducting interviews prior to breakfast because they put so much into Senior Bowl week. That's where they fell in love with this kid, this D2 kid. So he really jumped and stood out to Senior Bowl to the point he belonged more so than some of the, you know, high-labeled kids that are, you know, top of the first round, top 15-time picks, that this kid belonged there. So right away, bang, he gets tagged there. So they get him. They trade to get the kid from Michigan. They thought 3 other teams were going to get there. They slide up in the second round to go grab him, to combine him with Chase Winovich because there's a little experience there. These kids can run. What this does, and having Patrick Chung here, right? I mean, you didn't have to re-up Chung last year if you're going to tank. So you could basically play a 3-4 defense and have 4 safeties on the field at the same time. So theoretically, you're in dime or nickel, and you're really in a base defensive look, which can confuse the hell out of a team that's going to sit there and run an RPO look like, okay, wait, RPO is telling me when you say run pass option, meaning you go back to what the Philadelphia Eagles beat you in the Super Bowl with. And it's amazing it's taken 2 years to get to this point where, okay, now we're starting to understand this offense. A little more smoke and mirrors with the Chiefs offense, right? But it's an Andy Reid type call that they have. Same thing with Frank Reich. This is how all these guys are trained. Nagy. In Chicago. And that team with Trubisky gave you some issues up there in Chicago a couple years ago. So I think they're building this defense based to slow down a team like Kansas City, who you've proven you can already play with, Houston, who blew your doors off last year, and what's the other team? You're going to face the Seattle team that's going to do some of this stuff next year. The Rams are going to do a lot of those crisscrosses, and you're going to have people that can run up front. The one thing that you were doing on defense was you were aging and you were getting slower. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to get younger, and you're starting to get a little faster. You're getting some more athletes in the box area. When I say in that box area, that's your front. I'm not talking about Devin McCourty being deep. You know, Devin's probably going to be the deep guy, but you're going to have Chung. You're going to have Duggar. The Phillips kid goes under the radar, the kid they snagged in free agency. Good safety, former Pro Bowler, a good special team, special teamers that could run and tackle. That's what you're trained to do. And what they're trying to do, I think, is give as many of these guys on the field at the same time. Now, if you want to tank, you want those teams, those RPO teams, to blow your doors off. You wouldn't be doing the type of things you're doing on defense right now. This is a slap in the face to the people that say they're tanking for Trevor Lawrence. This is a complete 180. You're building your team. You're structuring your defense to compete at a high level with those teams that you look at and say, ooh, they got something. You know, Baltimore did it to you last year. Can you go with the same defense and compete with Baltimore? I don't think you could have. You know, you sort of roll the dice a little bit, restructure your roster defensively, and sort of try and match things up and come up with some new schemes.
So I get what you're saying. What does this mean for 2021?
You mean the year after?
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean they're going to have that schedule, you know, forever.
Correct.
So
I mean, you're going to start to twink it, right? What are you going to look at with Hightower? Okay, let's look at the opponents you're going to play the following year. Who's going to be the division leaders?
Does it mean that they are building the roster specifically for 2020? Or do they believe the whole league is going to go this way?
I think this is the way the league is trending. That's why I go back to the Philadelphia Super Bowl where you couldn't stop them. Again, Chicago, where Trubisky actually played pretty well, and he ran the ball and was effective against you up there. And they started to hit the tight end. Remember the Trey Burns stuff? They were hitting tight ends left and right. So this was a starting trend where teams look at it now, okay, there's a crap team and a crap quarterback in Chicago that gave them problems. Let's try and implement some stuff. Last year, I remember being there with Bob in Houston. I'm looking at it. I'm like, holy crap, look at this formation. Two tight ends in a backfield. This is exactly what Baltimore did. Billy O'Brien's taking some of that. They're using that to beat you. You know, so teams are starting to catch on as to, okay, if the Patriots are going to sit in this base stuff, here's what we can do. We can get these athletes on the field and create problems, mismatches to the sideline where their linebackers can't run, they can't cover. And that was with Jamie Collins. That was with Kyle Van Noy. That was with Hightower on the field. So now what are you going to do? You're going to get safeties and special teams out there that could run. Jonathan Jones-type players that could chase people and tackle. So it seems like a smarter way to sort of combat that, which totally flies in the face of the tank for Trevor people. So it's just interesting the way they're going to build it this year. And that's the way I think they're constructing this roster.
So they're doing it on purpose for 2020.
Defense.
What it means beyond that, though, remains to be seen.
Let's see how Stidham develops. And then we'll add some receiver pieces next year. We're going to have $100 million in cap space. Maybe go get a tackle, get a high-end tight end. And then maybe it swings back offensively next year. But this year, I think they know they need to control clock, you know, develop the young kid, keep him going, give him confidence. But damn it, we got to win on defense. And this ain't any sign of tanking, man.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Not a sign of tanking. The way the Patriots are building their defense is a clear sign to Zoe that they're doing it for their schedule. That's why they've drafted the way they did. That's why they've approached free agency the way that they did as well. We've got more to get to. The Patriots as a 5-9 win team. We'll talk about that. Also, the Texans are hiring a hygiene coordinator. We'll get to both of those things coming
up. Hygiene!
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk to Peter Slavin of Massachusetts General Hospital. He will join us on the line on this Giving Tuesday, 617-779-0985. Couple of things. Quickly, the Houston Texans are hiring a hygiene expert to work for their team. I know that some people are probably going to respond to that and say, oh, well, okay, what's that person going to do? Like walk around and disinfect things. I'm willing to bet that becomes the norm in sports and really in a lot of different businesses, I would say.
Yeah.
Director of hygiene.
I didn't even think like coronavirus. First thing I thought of was Tool Bag Easterby. Because he's the guy with this new magical title that has the matching plaid suits and everything's got to be proper, matching socks, yeah, pocket squares. He carries his little briefcase. Former chaplain now all of a sudden is a GM and has great hygiene. Yeah, plucking his eyebrows. You see him always like, he's bald, but you know, he's styling everything. He's always styling. And I'm like, oh, okay. DeAndre Hopkins had too many babies. We're gonna fix our hygiene here. We're gonna coach these kids up better to be better people. Yeah. That's exactly, I didn't even think coronavirus, but that's obviously, yeah.
Yeah, they plan to hire a full-time.
You're gonna get this more in sports, right?
full-time facility hygiene coordinator who will be in charge of protecting and providing sanitary conditions at their team headquarters.
Be cool if his name was Gene, you know?
They are believed to be the first professional sports team to add this type of specialized position. And the intention is to minimize the risk factor of getting or spreading COVID-19.
Yeah.
This person will supervise the custodial staff. And
head janitor. Nice.
They're going to be in charge of hygiene and keeping things clean and keeping the germs out. That's what the Texans are planning to do. I am curious to see how many teams follow suit and do the exact same thing. And hire someone
I would think
in charge of
most
that.
Of them, or someone is going to be who's already on staff is going to be, all right, I know you're the assistant to the traveling secretary there, George, but now
George.
You are also in charge of hygiene for the team. What does that mean? You're a clean guy. Just make sure everything's clean. Make sure
you're
keeping
Gene.
Their distance.
I would. Eugene.
Thank you.
Like, he'd walk in and say, hi, Gene. You know, everybody say, hi, Gene.
Right.
Well, the Texans did make it clear, or the league source, excuse me, did make it clear that it will be an external hire, not someone who currently works for the team. So take that for what it's worth. Also, the Patriots are in the 5-9 win range when it comes to the odds for the 2020 season. Oh, Zo's already upset about this.
Sorry, making me itch. Making me itchy.
New England Patriots' exact win total, the favorite is that they will have between 5 and 9 wins.
This is good. This is good. This is disrespect here. This is going to get you going. This is what McCourty's going to rally him around. So the coaching staff's going to rally him around. And just quietly go about your business, do your job. Let's go out. Let's play football. Let's coach him up. Let's play sound football. Let's see what happens.
5 to 9 is at 4 to 5 odds. 10 to 14 wins is the next one. So they believe that if it is not between 5 and 9, you know, it could be between 10 and 14.
I understand
it. They're more likely to be it. But these are big, wide ranges, too. And then 0 to 4 wins. 0 to 4 wins is at 11 to 2. And 15 or 16 wins is at 100 to 1, which is, you know, it's absurd. But the Buffalo Bills have the exact same odds as the Patriots all the way across the board.
Wouldn't that piss you off if you were the Bills? Like, here you are, finally get rid of Brady. They didn't add anybody freaking on offense. We've loaded up. They've actually improved their defense, got another corner. You know, the development of Josh Allen. They got some good talent there. You know, Beasley's starting to feel his way. Good receivers on the outside. And we're still the same as New England.
Yeah. That's who should feel disrespected.
They should be the favorite.
By this.
They should be the favorite, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't trust them.
There's plenty of disrespect to go around when you talk about numbers like that.
The coach is a hothead. The coach is a dick. He's a hothead. But he's created a foundation here and an environment and a culture that seems to be heading in the right direction for them. Sean McDermott is right for Buffalo. They should be favored. They shouldn't be. You shouldn't be lumped in with the Bills right now. Right now.
You think
unless
the Bills
they just
gonna,
think, go ahead.
Do you think the Bills are going to win the division?
I think it's between them and New England.
Yeah, I think the Bills would probably. I would, if I were to bet on it, I'd bet the Bills to win the division.
And I'd put
Patriots.
I would actually put the Jets next, and then Miami. I think Miami's still got work to do, but Miami's not far off. They're starting to compete. Jets are just screwed up, you know. But they got more talent than Miami does. So at least
the
we
Jets
think.
Are,
I got to look at the Jets defense again. They've
the
lost
Jets
a lot of pieces.
Mess.
Yeah.
Jets are a mess. The
but they still got the quarterback,
shape.
You know, like, say what you want. I mean, like, Darnold should be a difference of two or three games for them, at least, you know, than say Miami.
Watching him last year, I just sort of felt bad for him.
Yeah.
I feel like he's shell-shocked. Like, he's getting to that point where he could turn into damaged goods.
Well, you got the quarterback whisper with him now.
Well, they got to be careful, man. They got to be careful with that guy. That's all I'm saying.
Burt's guy, yeah.
Oh, what's his name?
Love Simpson Gase. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gase, that lunatic.
Quarterback whisper. Yeah.
Yeah, so good. So innovative.
You're not seeing ghosts. Yeah, you're not seeing ghosts. No ghosts out there. Yeah. Just play. Okay.
You all right?
Yeah.
You okay today?
Okay.
I'm great today.
All right.
Excited. It's Derek's birthday. Got a good show planned here. Yep. Got my bear. Still here?
Oh, yeah. You're going to beat that joke to death today, too?
No.
Oh. Ash will come beat you to death today.
Yeah. Do it.
Can't. Beetle's got a fortress built around it. He can't get in there.
Yeah.
He's in a bunker today.
Go ahead. Have at it.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
Social distancing.
I'll tell you
idiot.
What. Guess what's
idiot.
Coming? Guess what's coming tomorrow?
You're staying home during the pandemic.
The dumpster's coming tomorrow, baby. Dumpster is coming tomorrow. So I'll be in a great mood tomorrow. Yeah.
All right, let's get to Hardy's headlines. They should take only a minute or so, and we're right back. We'll be talking to Peter Slavin from MGH.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two of Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And as we begin hour number two, we go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the president of Massachusetts General Hospital. It's Dr. Peter Slavin who joins us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Peter, how are you? Thanks for the time.
I'm doing well. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
It's good to have you, Peter. How much have things changed over the last several weeks since the beginning of COVID? And I remember the beginning where, you know, you guys were very short on PPE and some of the stuff that some of the frontline workers had to sort of faction or wear and reuse some of those items. How much has that settled down, or has it settled down, if at all?
I think there's a new normalcy that's descended on our hospital, and I think other hospitals in the area as well. We're still caring for about 275 patients in the hospital who are suffering from COVID, and almost half of those are in our intensive care units. But in terms of the PPE, we were worried about masks and some of the other supplies. At this point, it's really the gowns that our staff wears to go in and out of patients' rooms with COVID that we're most concerned about. But at the moment, our staff is well stocked with PPE, and I think feels comfortable with the protection that we're able to offer them.
Doctor, do you feel like we're winning, or you're winning, not we, but, you know, in terms of this worked with people staying home over the last 6 weeks, that this did put a significant dent in what would have been the surge that you faced over the last month and a half?
You know, in the absence of an effective treatment, in the absence of a vaccine, this physical distancing that we've been doing is really the best approach to trying to control the spread of this virus. Certainly the peak we're seeing here in Boston and across the country is lower than I think it otherwise might have been. And I think here in the Boston area, we are at or slightly past the peak, and hopefully we'll see a decreasing number of patients in the weeks and months to come.
Peter, can you tell us what it's like to balance, obviously, people that still need care at a hospital but may not have coronavirus, and mm-hmm. how there are still patients that would come see you for other needs, whatever those might be, that now you've got to balance two different things going on at once?
No, it is a bit of a balancing act, and we're prepared today to care for everyone, whether they have COVID or need other sorts of medical care. Like other hospitals, we've canceled elective procedures and elective visits for the time being. But there are certainly things that 6 weeks ago seemed elective that are no longer elective. So we'll be starting doing more cancer surgery and other things like that. One thing that we're really worried about is that we have seen a major decrease in the number of patients coming to our emergency room with cardiac symptoms, with symptoms of stroke. Certainly COVID doesn't cure those illnesses. We need people when they are feeling ill to come to the hospital. There are more things than COVID out there that can adversely affect your health.
We've heard a lot about some of these different cities that have been impacted more than others. I know Chelsea has been one closer down to the South Shore in Brockton. I know they've been more impacted. And a lot of people want to, you know, give different reasons for it. Is there anything that you've seen in the data that would lead you to believe it is the cause of one thing over another, or is it still something that you're dealing with as either anomalous or just something that you have to kind of deal with and figure it out later?
Well, I know, I think we're pretty sure that, unfortunately, lower-income communities are feeling more of the brunt of this pandemic than more affluent communities, and we think the reasons are is that housing conditions are more crowded, and a lot of people who live in those communities are essential workers who have to go to work and use public transportation or in jobs where physical distancing isn't as possible. And so we think for those are probably the major reasons why those communities are more hard hit. And we've been working with a number of the communities in the MGH area, Chelsea, Revere, East Boston, to see what we can do to be as helpful as possible.
Peter, I know you've been in contact, obviously, with the governor, and going back a couple weeks when the PPEs really weren't available, and the governor was able to secure some in China. Patriots sent the plane there, came back, and there was some discrepancy as to whether, you know, was the masks were able to be used or not. You came out, I think, a day after that and spoke on that. How desperate was it at that time prior to them able to secure those masks and have them delivered not only to your hospital but to surrounding hospitals and also some of the ones they sent to New York City?
Yeah, the situation at that time was quite desperate. We were really worried about running out of N95 respirators, which are the masks that people wear when they go in to see a patient with COVID. And so those masks, as I said back then, were a godsend and were distributed to a lot of nursing homes, first responders, some hospitals that desperately needed them. So that I congratulate the governor and somebody you know well, Jonathan Kraft, who's also our board chair at Mass General, for doing that.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Slavin, president of Massachusetts General Hospital. And Peter, I know that there was an announcement and a release the other day about the COVID-19 simulator that has been developed by researchers at your hospital in conjunction with Georgia Tech. And this is a tool, and maybe you're better that you explain it than I do, but it's a tool for, you know, people like a governor to see how reopening should go. Is that a good way to explain it?
You know, there are a number of these tools that have popped up across the country. There's one at the University of Washington, Hopkins, and some investigators at our place have developed one as well. And they all, based on data from Italy and other countries that are further along with this epidemic than us, try to use a bunch of variables to make predictions about where we're likely to be heading. But a model is just a model. What really matters is what happens day to day in terms of our containing the physical spread of this virus. So all of these models will prove to be wrong in one fashion or another, but I think they provide some helpful guidance as to where we are likely to wind up.
So people are very anxious to get out again, and whether that's out, you know, in a park nearby or it's something more grand down the road, like, you know, going to a restaurant or a concert or things where people are gathered in large groups, how far are we from that and how soon should that happen? Do you have any idea what maybe the timeline should be on that?
Well, as you know, I mean, the governor has extended his stay-at-home order until May 18th. I have my fingers crossed if the data move in the right direction and the spread of this virus decreases significantly by then, that he'll be able to loosen things up within the state a bit. I applaud his efforts to try to be as judicious as possible. Certainly, when I walk around neighborhood of my near where I live, there are lots of people out there walking and doing social distancing. So there are a lot of outdoor activities that people can do today. And getting outdoors, particularly as the weather gets nicer, getting some exercise is a really, really good thing to do.
What is the importance of the antibody testing? We keep hearing about more testing. That's what's going to be required. The more I think about it, the more I hear about it, and just anecdotally, the people I speak to, like, well, I feel okay. I'm not so concerned about being able to get a COVID-19 test. I want the antibody test. Is that as important or more important than the actual testing to see if you have the virus?
Yeah, so there are two tests. There's the RNA test, which involves a nasal swab that tells you whether you have the virus in your secretions. And then there's a blood test, usually a finger stick, that can tell whether you have begun to develop antibodies against the virus. The antibody test is helpful in determining whether you've been exposed to the virus in the past. It's helpful in identifying people who might be able to give their blood and their serum, their antibodies, to others who are fighting this disease. That's a potentially exciting therapy down the road. But we're still not sure that those antibodies predict immunity from the virus, so we don't want those people to get overly confident that they're immune from the virus quite yet.
We're talking with Peter Slavin, president of Massachusetts General Hospital, and today is Giving Tuesday. And right now, all gifts that are made to the Massachusetts General Hospital Emergency Response Fund will be matched by a generous donor, Donald Sussman, up to $1 million. Beasley Media Group and our station, 98.5 The Sports Hub, is encouraging our listeners to donate to support our healthcare heroes. How important is it right now for donations, and how important is it to do it in a time of a pandemic and support everything that you've got going on with your emergency response fund?
It's just incredibly important. I just want to thank Beasley Media Group, you folks at the Sports Hub, and your listeners for supporting this cause, and really grateful for Mr. Sussman for matching gifts during this period of time. We've been able to use some of these funds to help our staff stay at hotels in the area where they need some rest, can have some downtime. We've been able to use this fund to support some of our staff who are facing financial hardship. We've been able to use some of this fund to buy food for the people of Chelsea. So and we've used it for countless other things. So these funds are critically important for us to respond to this pandemic as forcefully as we would like, and to support the people, the heroes, namely the healthcare workers who are on the front lines battling this virus every day.
You know, speaking of the heroes and the people that are on the front lines every day, doctors, nurses, EMTs, everyone that works in the field as a first responder, they seem to be some of the most outspoken and upset when you see gatherings like we saw outside the State House yesterday. What's your reaction when you see a protest like that, when people want to, you know, defy orders and think that maybe this virus is a hoax, or it's overplayed or overblown? What's your response to that?
I mean, I understand that people are frustrated. Everybody is feeling cabin fever, cooped up in their home. But it not only are those people putting themselves at risk, they're putting everyone at risk by doing that. And so I strongly discourage people from engaging in that sort of behavior. Again, you have to acknowledge the frustration, but there have to be more constructive ways to express it.
Doctor, thank you for the time. Appreciate you joining us, and thank you for everything you and your staff at Massachusetts General Hospital are doing during this time.
Thanks to both of you, and again, thanks for supporting our efforts. We really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Take care. That is Dr. Peter Slavin for Massachusetts General Hospital.
Again,
Giving Tuesday is happening today, and all gifts that are made to Mass General's Emergency Response Fund will be matched up to $1 million. Donald Sussman has stepped forward with $1 million match challenge. So any donations that are made today to the Emergency Response Fund supporting the efforts at Mass General will be matched up to $1 million. And so we encourage you to take advantage of that if you can. We know it's obviously a tough time for a lot of people, but if you can give, we very much appreciate that to help the healthcare heroes that are on the front lines of the pandemic. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We will get back at it with you and your calls coming up next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two of Szolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And as we begin hour number two, we go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the president of Massachusetts General Hospital. It's Dr. Peter Slavin, who joins us now on Szolak and Bertrand. Peter, how are you? Thanks for the time.
I'm doing well. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
It's good to have you, Peter. How much have things changed over the last several weeks since the beginning of COVID? And I remember the beginning where, you know, you guys were very short on PPE and some of the stuff that some of the frontline workers had to sort of faction or wear and reuse some of those items. How much has that settled down, or has it settled down, if at all?
I think there's a new normalcy that's descended on our hospital, and I think other hospitals in the area as well. We're still caring for about 275 patients in the hospital who are suffering from COVID, and almost half of those are in our intensive care units. But in terms of the PPE, we were worried about masks and some of the other supplies. At this point, it's really the gowns that our staff wears to go in and out of patients' rooms with COVID that were.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.